I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we going to talk about today, Sean?
Today I want to talk about campsite setup. Maybe is the right way to say it. Like, we've talked in the past about, like,
we gotta get better at this.
I know. I feel like every time it's my turn to pick a topic, I have to have an explanation that goes with it because I don't really know what to call it. But we've talked about, like, figuring out where to set up camp before, but we've never but we've never really talked about, like, okay, what are some tips and tricks for, like, the layout of your campsite?
Right.
Presuming you've got enough room to, like, kind of have a setup, but, like, there's things that you and I, Mike, do when we are picking a site and setting up camp, like, this goes here, and then we're going to do this over here, and then right. we're going to do this here, and this is why we're doing this. And so I thought maybe we could share with our listeners, like, some of those ways that we set up our site to make it
right
easier and safer and less impactful.
Okay. Does that make sense? I'm glad you mentioned the less impactful, because I was going to say we try to make a minimal impact. So the one caveat to that is what I'll say is, like, sometimes you have a designated camp spot.
Yes.
Like, you have a reserved campsite, you could even be in a federal campground where there's campers and all that stuff. It's pretty much kind of, you know, like, you don't need to decide where your fire ring goes. You don't need to decide these certain things. So the caveat to this discussion is, if there's already something in place for you, utilize it to be less impactful. But if you need to disperse camp, or it's a campsite where it's just like, hey, it's a campsite, like, do what you want with it.
Well, and I would say, I mean, not to contradict you, but, like, I would even say, like, on some of those, like, what's that lake that you and I really like to go to that we've been to a couple of times?
Damn it, you put me on the spot.
Is it, like, is it Fife Lake or something?
No, okay, you're thinking of the wrong place.
Okay, regardless, it was a bridge,
yep.
So
we've mentioned it before.
But the thing with that is, like, okay, so that's like a hike-in campground, right? Like, in a state yep. forest, I'm pretty sure.
The closest parking lot is 1 mile.
And they have a designated spot, like, clearly a designated spot where, like, this is where you put up your tents. So that it's not, yes. like, you know, just set it up wherever. But even with that, there's also other things that we do, like, we're going to make sure that we cook over here. We're going right. to make sure that our food is hung up this far away. You know, like, some right. things like that. Like, okay, even though this is, like, clearly designated specifically for this, you yeah. know, where is the bathroom going to be? Because there's no bathroom out there. So, like, things right. like that, with the way we set up our camp and how we prep for the nighttime and set up our camp for nighttime so that critters aren't attracted. Like, that stuff all still applies even in some of those situations. So,
fair.
Yes, okay. utilize yep. what is left for you that is designated for a thing, if there is such a thing where you're at. But also, like, here's some other things that we do to, you know, keep our boots dry or keep the food safe or all that sort of stuff.
Or keep you safe from critters that might want the food.
Right. So I thought, like, this could, like, encompass some of that stuff in this conversation.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep. So, like, so, I think the big overarching thing right off the top, let's get it out of the way. You kind of already mentioned it. I kind of already mentioned it. But, like, here's the bottom line. Leave no trace. You know, pack in, pack out. All of that still applies through all of these suggestions absolutely. We make. It's all yep. going to be, like, modify it for the place that you're at. You know, you're going to kind of have to make adjustments on the fly with what the situation is where you're at.
Right.
But the underlying theme for anything that Mike and I talk about in this episode is do all of it with the least amount of impact to nature as you can.
Right. If if you want to set up your tent somewhere and you have to cut down a tree to do it, don't set your tent there.
Like, right. I mean, aside from it might be illegal to do that. Like, just right, like, right. Fucking don't. How about, you know, like, let's leave it better for the next person that comes through. Yeah. Make it look like you were never there. You know, don't encourage erosion. Don't leave your trash behind. Bring it in with you. Take it out with you. Like, all of that stuff. Blanket statement. All of that still right. applies for everything we're going to talk about. So
absolutely. Okay. So all the caveats, all the cover your ass aside, right. Where do you want to start with this?
Okay. Like, so let's
when we get to camp, when we're like huffing and puffing, we're yes. glad we're here. What is your first thought when we get to camp and why?
So, okay. So my first thought when we get to camp, the very first thing that I think about is water. So I think, okay. I mean, we've talked in other episodes, we talked about like the, can I camp here one mm-hmm. and in the water one, like you and I very much are mindful of like our water situation kind of at all times.
Absolutely.
One yes. of the things that I pick right when we get to camp, cause like I've still got all my hiking boots on, I've still got all the things like, all right, let's get this water bladder full of water. And then because right. we use a gravity bag, the very first thing I'm scoping out is like, okay, where can I hang this? Like, is there a spot where we are at that this system that you and I use will work? Now, you might not have a water gravity bag, and maybe that's not a consideration for you. But like for us, with the gravity bag, that's a big consideration. Like, is there a branch I can hang this from? Is there
right.
like a post that I can hang this from that will work? That is also like kind of out of the way, right? Like I want it easily accessible to us when camp is set up, but I also don't want it like in the prime real estate of where we're setting it up.
Right. I don't want to be filling up my water bottle and then you're trying to walk around me to get to the fire or to get wherever. So,
right. Yeah. And I'm also not going to like, you know, I'm not going to pick the prime pooping spot to hang the water up because like, I don't want to mix the two. Right. So,
like, yeah, that could have some negative consequences.
So that's the first thing I do. Now, that might, like I said, that might not be a consideration for everybody because you might use a different water filtration system. So, right. like, if you're using whatever method that's not a gravity bag, you do that. But then, so then immediately following that, I'm looking at my big ticket item, which is my tent, right?
Yep. So I'm not going to lie. You generally have the water bladder.
Yep.
So that's not necessarily always the first thing on my mind. I'm always looking at where's the high ground for the tent. Like that. So that's usually my first spot. And that could be because generally when you and I are planning our trips, we usually have a good idea of where we're camping and where the water's going to be.
Yes.
But so yeah, if we had to hang the bladder behind the tent or whatever, that's like a second thought for me. But like, yeah. I'm always looking at, okay, well, first is I'm going to get this pack off my back. But second is.
right. That's the first thought. Let's be honest. The first thought is, okay, where can I sit?
Like, right.
That's the first thought.
Then I find the high ground for where I'm setting up my tent, and usually you and I have a pretty good rapport. I mean, we've been besties for a long time now. So like usually it's like, okay, this was your trip. You picked it. You pick where you're setting up your tent.
We usually take turns like, on like getting the quote unquote good spot.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, usually it's like, I have my spot eyed up and you're like, well, I was looking over here and I'm like, all right, perfect. So nobody's pissed off.
Right.
Like, but, like, usually it's, I'm trying to find a spot that I know that I'm going to remain alive and dry.
Yes.
So, and alive, I mean, like, there's no dead tree next to it. There's no dead branches above it, anything like that. If a high wind comes, it's going to knock all that crap down on top of me.
Yeah.
So, but I want to be on elevated ground if it does rain, that the rain washes away from me rather than to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, even more than just like the high ground part, it's like, okay, where is the ground clear ish, right? Like, well, where, true.
Yeah.
Like we both have one person tents, so like our tents are fairly small.
Maybe a 2x4, 2x6.
I don't even think they're that. I don't even think it's 2 feet wide. It's like 18 inches it's or pretty, some nonsense. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, it's like, where's the high ground, but like also where's the clear ground, I guess is right. What I'm trying to say is like, where can I set this up that I'm not like flattening a bunch of ferns, or where am I not, you know, gonna be on top of a wolverine den or, you know, but yeah, it's like, okay, so where does the tent fit? And then you and I usually hiking together pretty much every time. Like, realistically, we got to find a spot for two tents. But we try to find one where it will work, where mostly, like, we kind of try to keep our tents corralled in one area, even. And that
there have been
gets
times.
Into, there have been times where, like, if we're on, like, a big, quote-unquote, site, like a site that we have reserved and it's fairly large, like, okay, I don't need to be right next to you on this whole thing's a campsite, so it doesn't really matter. But like, if we're out in the backcountry, we try to keep them fairly close together. Like, and I don't know about you, but like, I try to do that so that we're least amount of impact, you know?
Least amount of impact. And I actually not saying I'm scared if I'm out by myself, but I feel like there is a safety aspect to it, to where there's a proximity thing, like,
yeah,
a bigger colony type thing. Yeah. If a bear or anything were to come up to you, it's two things rather than one on its own. So,
well, and then it goes into like, I haven't really gotten into like this zone concept or whatever, but like, you're kind of setting up zones, like, you know, like you've got different rooms in your house, right? Like, you've got your bedroom and you've got your kitchen and you've got your living room. Like, the
your
way
bathroom
we
and,
set up our campsite is kind of not dissimilar to that. I mean, there's no walls and there's no rooms, but it's like, okay, this is the sleeping area. Mm-hmm. This is the going to the bathroom area. This is the cooking area. This is, you know, so like, we set up these different zones. You know, like, if you're going to have a fire, you don't want the fire right next to your tent. You're, you know, like, so there is some of that zone stuff to consider. How spread out can you be?
Right.
If you can't be real spread out and it's all going to be real condensed, you know, can you even have a fire if that's what you're dealing with?
Right. Or be mindful and have a smaller fire so you're not creating sparks and setting your tent and all your stuff on fire.
I mean, I don't want to get into too deep into like the, can you have a fire? We have a whole episode on like, can I have a fire?
Right.
So I don't want to get too deep into that specifically, but like, that's going to be a zone, right? Like, that's going to be your living room or whatever, if you want to consider it, because you're going to sit around it and shoot the shit and maybe have a drink or a cup of tea or a coffee or whatever it is that you're having. And that's like your relaxing area. And then, so along with that, okay, if you're going to have a fire there, where you're picking your fire, is there, well, A, did you bring a chair with you? And if you didn't bring a chair with you, is there a log that you can sit on that's like in that general area? Or is there a log you can find to make a chair for that? But like, set that up in a zone.
Right.
And where are you going to be cooking? Because so here's the thing with cooking, and I guess I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place, so sorry about that. But like, with cooking, you probably don't want to cook right outside the door of your tent, because it's going to make smells that potentially could invite critters. So do you
could
want
potentially
that right
spill
outside?
Something.
You could spill something, you know, like all those things. So when you and I are setting up our zones or whatever, after we've got our tents placed, like, okay, this is where the quote unquote bedroom is, right? Next thing we usually do, I would say, is set up where are we going to cook? Because by the time we get to camp, we're pretty hungry. Where are we going to cook at? If you're in a spot that's got a picnic table, if you're in a designated camp spot and it's got a picnic table, okay, that's probably where we're going to do it. But, okay, if that's the case, then I'm not setting my tent up right next to the picnic table, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, where is the cook area going to be? Let's designate that. And then that's where you're going to do all your things that are going to smell to attract things, which hopefully is not right next to where we're sleeping.
Right. Yeah, if you spill something and they're going to be digging at the ground, licking the ground, doing all that, and they're getting appeased by that, and then you want to be at least 20 feet, 25 feet away from that. I mean, it depends on how big your camp spot is.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, a lot of it depends on what are you doing? Like, are you just picking a spot right in the backcountry? Are you picking a spot in the backcountry, but clearly other people have been here before, and this is the area that people are using?
Yeah. Like, the site we had in the UP, I think it was the one that was just, it was the designated campsite in Tequamanon Falls State Park, but it was the backcountry site. The fire ring, there was no picnic table or anything like that, but somebody had set up like this, or there was this like flattened off log. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to set my cook stove on top of that.
Yeah.
Because like, that's going to be the most level thing right I can, and sturdy thing to put that on. So that's going to go there. I've got my chair, so I don't necessarily need a log to sit on or anything like that. And there was a fire ring right there. So that was our cooking and quote unquote, like fire living room area. Mm-hmm. And then our site was, I mean, those sites were huge.
Oh, they were huge.
It was like, okay, so like the high ground and the best clearing was probably 20 yards, not feet, but yards away from.
Yeah.
From the, I mean, we had a good size site. So it was a very comfortable setup. And like, I mean, our tents were right next to each other, but we're just used to doing that. But that was where the high ground was and all that kind of stuff. But like everything else, like the bathroom, there was the, did that one have a designated bathroom?
That one had a designated bathroom. Yeah.
That was down a little trail and all that stuff. So it was like, you just don't set up everything, but the fire was pit was far enough away from the bathroom. Like, it's really nice when it's designated, like kind of like that, you know, right. You're not doing as much impact because you're not the only ones that have ever been there.
Yeah.
Like, so the night before that was, we were just camping out wherever we could find a place to camp out.
Yeah. The night before that was the one that was like the tiniest site we've ever been on. Wasn't that the one that was the night before?
That was the first night.
Regardless.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so that like, and then the other thing, like as you're setting all this up, one of the things I know Mike and I think about, like we take headlamps and we take lanterns and we take all the things so like that you can see at night. But like one of the things that I am very mindful of, and I think you, Mike, are very mindful of, is keeping all of the things we've already said in mind, also setting it up in a way that makes sense. So like if you do have to get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, or you do need to get up in the middle of the night to let's say refill your water, I don't know, or to have a midnight snack, or I don't know, whatever. If you need to get out of your tent in the middle of the night, most places that you and I, Mike, are going, and I would assume anybody listening, it is dark. Like, if you've never been out in the dark, it is dark in these places that you're going.
Yeah.
Like, you can't see. So kind of set up in a way that makes sense, that you're not going to be like, I don't want to be tripping over your tent while you're in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Well, so in that aspect, too, when we were in the Porky's, one of our sites ended up having like a cliff on the end of it.
Yes.
And to where it was a beautiful view. It was overlooking the river and a waterfall and like the sounds and just everything was immaculate. It was probably my favorite site of that whole trip. And
that might be my favorite one that we've ever stayed at.
Yeah. We made the conscious effort or decision to face our vestibules and the openings of our tent away from all of that. So if you had to get up and pee in the middle of the night, you didn't open your tent and then you're just falling off this cliff or down this hill or whatever. Like, be mindful of that kind of thing to where it's just because it's daylight and you know it's there. Some of us might imbibe a little bit and have a few drinks.
And I mean, like in different circumstances, I mean, we don't spend that much time in our tent regardless, but like to walk up on it, it would have been like, oh, this would be great. I can open my tent door in the morning and like look out over this cliff down under this river. I bet it's gorgeous. it probably would have been gorgeous. You know? Oh, yeah. I also think if I would have had to get up in the middle of the night to pee, I probably would have died. I mean, not literally. I probably would have broke a leg. I mean, it was steep enough and long enough that
you would have ended up in the river at the least.
Yeah.
You would have ended up in the
river. I mean, it would have not been a good thing. So, yeah. Right. So that's a great point, is be mindful what way your door is facing.
Yeah.
If there are potential dangers, a cliff or, I mean, even a tree, don't set your door up
right next to a tree that you're going to get up and
walk into. You know, face it away from that stuff.
Yep. Yeah, there's definitely some things, and if you make these mistakes or whatever, if you survive them, learn from them.
Right.
Learn from them, but it's there are definitely things to think about when you're setting up your tent. Like, if you do have a smaller campsite and your fire ring is 10 feet away from your tent, don't put your door facing the fire ring.
Yeah.
Like, just face it a little askew or whatever, and just make sure you know. And definitely, I mean, I recommend having some kind of a light source so you can see when you're going out.
Absolutely, right.
But not all light sources are the best, and usually the best are really heavy, so you're not taking necessarily the best. So make sure that if you walk straight away from your tent, you've got a clearing to where you can get to a tree to pee on or whatever. If you got a poo, go use the 200 feet method, but
right.
But yeah, so sorry.
That's okay. But so that's my tangent. I mean, we kind of started talking about nighttime, but all of this, you know, design it in a way that makes sense. So like in the dark, you could kind of find your way around. But then, when it does get dark or at nighttime, hopefully you, as a backpacker, have the type of tent that has. It is either big enough that you can keep some of your essentials inside the tent with you, or at least has a vestibule. So, like, Mike and I have single-person tents. They both have a vestibule. And if you're not familiar with a tent that has a vestibule, it's basically just, like, an extra area that's under your rain fly. Like, it's outside of your tent, but it's underneath the rain fly. So, like, it can keep stuff. Mike and I put our packs in there. So, like, you will take all of your things that need to be in your bear bag or your bear vault, put all that aside and take that away from your campsite. But then like the rest of your pack, keep that under your vestibule, keep your shoes underneath there. Like anything that it'll help protect it from like getting wet, whether that be from dew or from rain, if it happens to rain overnight, keep that gear protected and out of the way. It keeps your campsite cleaned up so you're not tripping over your backpack because you always know right where it's at. There's all that sort of stuff that kind of comes into play too, but like keep that ideally in your vestibule so it's not taking up room in your tent if you have a vestibule.
Yeah, that's key, is just like keep it underneath that little spot is key to, like I said, keeping it dry. And going back to, it'll stay dry if you set your tent on the high ground, because if it's on the dirt but under your rain fly, if the rain is coming in underneath your rain fly, your pack or whatever you have underneath there is going to get wet.
Right.
So, yeah, that's just going back to making sure that you try for the high ground. It's not always available. But
well, and then I mean, I guess to go back to tents too, because we kind of skimmed over tents, and I know we're jumping around a little bit in this episode, but like, okay, so you're picking your spot for your tent, right? And we're trying to be, again, being mindful to be the least amount of impactful to nature as you can, but like, for the longevity of your equipment, you might find it beneficial to like, you know, it's not like I'm taking a rake with me, but I'll take my foot and kind of scoot any sticks or pine cones or acorns or whatever away from where I'm setting my tent up. Mike and I do not currently have tent footprints.
Right.
Tent footprints are a great way to protect the base of your tent from the wear and tear that it gets from being out in the backcountry, because inevitably you are setting up on roots or sticks or acorns or pine cones or whatever. So you and I, we've talked before, we don't have tent footprints. I think they're a good idea. We just don't happen to have them. So you and I kind of like sweep as much away from where we're setting up our tent as we can again, being mindful not to be like overly disturbing, but,
right.
You know, I don't want to ruin my gear either. So,
right.
You know, that's a good way to prolong the, well, A, for comfort. I mean, partly it's for comfort because like we have a sleeping pad, but the sleeping pad ain't like a foot thick. So,
right.
I don't really want to be sleeping on yeah. a bunch of acorns. I am a little bit of the princess and the pea, you know.
I haven't really noticed that. I mean, well, I guess I do brush a little bit away. I try not to brush as much as I can, though, just because even though it's a stick, it's a pine cone, whatever, there could be a little ecosystem living in there. So I try not to destroy too much. So
I try not to destroy too much, but I also, I am not going to be sleeping on like a fist-sized rock, you know?
So, well, right, right.
You know me. I am a big proponent of leave no trace. I get
absolutely.
It. And I am, to the best of my ability, not impacting any more than I need to. I try to be very mindful of where I'm putting my tent.
Yeah.
But if I got to move a couple of things, I got to move a couple of things. I'm not like, right. I'm not cutting down a tree. I'm not moving a whole log. I'm not like trampling ferns.
Not sweeping the whole area to make room for me. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
But yeah, so I mean, really, it kind of comes down to, like I was saying, the zones, right? Like, you're setting up your zones, you got your cooking area, you got your, like, hygiene area, you got your tent area, you're keeping it all contained, being respectful, cleaning up after yourself, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, pick your spots, pick your zones, set your zones up.
Yeah.
And do what works for you. I mean, if you're doing solo, then you don't got to worry about setting two tents up. If you're growing with a group of six, you're going to have more stuff to think about than what Mike and I are thinking about. You know, you're going to take up more space. So just be mindful of how you're setting up. Make sure you're cooking away from your tent. I'm not saying like a mile from your tent, but like you don't want it right next to your tent door, you know. Pick where your bear bag and stuff is going to go. That's a great thing to get out of the way before it gets dark, if possible. If you're hanging it for sure, because it's way harder to hang one in the dark than it is when it's still daylight. Mike and I talked about in our gear updates episode that we have both upgraded to a bear vault or a bear canister instead of a bear bag. Really like it. But also, I'm picking where that's going before it gets dark.
Absolutely.
Because that's got to be a certain distance from your campsite anyway.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not going to say that's in my top five of what I'm finding, but it's once we're set up and after we've got our food cooked and everything and I'm starting to pack things away for the night, it's definitely still daylight before I decide where that's going and we pick the spot. If there's other campsites around and there's like a localized bear locker, then you just put it in there. If it's not, then you go find a spot that's going to work for you that you think is not going to be something where it's going to be trampled by animals.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and one of the other pieces of gear that's like the unsung hero that we never really talk about, it seems to come up once in a while, but like, you, Mike, are kind enough to set up a clothesline pretty much everywhere we go to dry some of our gear out. You know, set that up in a spot that you're not going to literally clothesline yourself in the middle of the night.
From the last trip, I realized, like, yes, you have to utilize the trees that are available to you, but also try to utilize the trees that might be getting more sun.
Right.
The trees I chose the last time were not in the morning sun, and we were packing up and moving on to our next spot, so things did not dry out as well as I had hoped. But at least I provided it.
Not to go back to tents again, but like because it all kind of, I really feel like the whole site revolves around with where your tent's at. Or hammock, I assume. Again, Mike and I don't have experience with hammocks, but I assume it's kind of like, that's your central piece if that's what you got. But aside from just picking the high ground, if I could give you a piece of advice, listener, make sure your head is slightly uphill versus slightly downhill if needed. But also, try to keep your tent door on the same side of your body every time. I had almost wet myself in the middle of the night one night because I couldn't get out of my tent because I was trying to exit the window because that was the side that my door was usually on. And in the middle of the night, waking up, I had had a couple of drinks. I needed to use the bathroom urgently. Couldn't get out of my tent because I was trying to unzip the window and couldn't find the zipper. And it took me way longer than I would like to admit to figure out that that was what was happening. But
if you just had one of those little lanterns that I take, you know,
that's my tip and trick is to keep your door on the same side of your body as much as possible so you don't run into the same thing.
Not always an option based on the other criteria that we mentioned. Oh, exactly. But
not always an option. That's what I'm saying. Whenever possible.
But that, yeah. Yep. So, no, I get it. I'm usually always on the same side. I don't know if that's just how it works out. I think I've only been on the other side once.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I did not have that panic pee in the middle of the night. So,
yeah. But then, I mean, some other things to kind of maybe think about, like when you're setting up your tent, like, okay, which way does the wind typically come from? Like, okay, so if you don't have a cliff to worry about or a tree to worry about running into, which way is the wind coming? You know, have your door facing away from that if you can, if it happens to work out. That's a good thing.
And for that matter too, if you're at the base of a hill or a base of a cliff type of a thing, and that's just where the trail happens to go, you face your door away from that for one, because any rain that's going to come down is going to come down that hill and then go around your tent. Your vestibule should stay dry if you pull your tent taut enough and everything. But then you're not walking into the hill or the cliff when you get out of your tent, and the wind is typically going away from that. So,
And I mean, another thing to think about is, like, if you are in a climate or a situation where you need shade, you know, do you want your tent in the shade or do you not want it? Normally, I would say Mike and I have only gone hiking a handful of times that we have gotten to camp and I needed shade because it was like that hot out.
Yeah.
But again, we're not in a warm weather climate. We're in a very Midwestern.
I don't know. Speak for yourself. It was pretty warm this summer.
Well, it was pretty warm, but it's not. I don't even know if we had a single 100-degree day, did we?
No, but it was high 90s, and that's hot enough for me.
I mean, it is hot enough, but realistically, when it's 90 degrees out, it's the middle of the day, and we're hiking at that point. We're not to camp yet at that point.
That's so true. And it's not 117 or 123 like it was down in the south. Well,
exactly.
So,
okay. Right. And we're not saying we're not keeping our camp in one spot. The way you and I hike, we move sites every single night. So it's not like I need to have my tent in a spot that's going to be in shade during the day because we're coming back to it later that day. You know, like, that's not a consideration that you and I have. But if you're in that type of climate, or you are doing a one camp spot and you're just like doing day hikes out from that camp spot, that might be a consideration that you would want to have, is, you know, where is your tent going based on that?
Yeah, no, that's fair. I forget about the set it and forget it campsites and go do your day hikes and hang on out and all that kind of stuff. And
I know, because we just you're there for two or three nights. That we do.
We might need to try that.
Yeah, I mean, I can see getting to that point. I don't know. I like
I like to move. I like to see other things. Yeah,
that's the thing. I like to move spots every night.
We kind of covered, I mean, your clothing and gear storage, we kind of covered that. I'm just looking at through my notes here. I don't think I have a whole lot of other things to discuss.
No, I don't have a whole lot else to discuss either, other than, like, I mean, I guess maybe because you don't have to listen to every one of these episodes. So I'm going to touch on a couple of things that we've covered in different episodes.
I mean, they should listen to every episode.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would encourage you to listen to every episode. But, like, for those of you that are, like, picky choosy and you're only listening to the ones that you want to, or if you just happen to stumble across one of these, you know, be respectful of your neighbor.
Yeah.
Don't be overly loud. Don't be, like, scaring nature off because you're, like, hooting and hollering out in the woods.
Well, you and I have been known, we've talked in the past that we usually take a Bluetooth speaker or something. We have some music going, whatever. If we've got neighbors near us, we turn it way down. We can hear it.
Like, but to a one or a two.
Like if we walk away to go to the bathroom or we go to our tent or whatever, you can no longer hear it. Like, yeah. if we are by ourselves, we turn it up a little bit more, but it's not enough to really disturb nature. It's enough to keep nature away.
Yeah.
Like bears, things like that, let them know we're here. But, like, we're not here to, like, you came out here to enjoy the peace and quiet. If you don't have music going for yourself, we don't want to be the person interrupting that. So,
one of the other things that I personally do before I tuck in for the night, we talked about, like, you know, putting your backpack and stuff in your vestibule and getting your shoes in there and all that sort of stuff. One of the things that I do just for, like, my own peace of mind is I will get my bear spray out. And I will, so, like, my shoes go, like, literally right outside my door or my tent, underneath the vestibule, right outside the door. I get my bear spray out and put it in one of my boots. So, like, it's if I unzip my tent door, like, that's the first thing that's, like, right there. I've never needed it. I don't think Mike and I typically hike in an area that is, like, super heavily populated with bears. I don't know if any of the listeners have ever had any encounters with bears. Realistically, off the record, I kind of feel like I could use it in case, like, a weirdo came up, even if it wasn't a bear and it was just, like, a weird person and I needed self-defense. Well, like, I'm going to freaking use that, you know? So I think
the shovel too. Like,
I know
one of us has, like, the pickaxe and one of us has the beat stick.
I stick the bear spray in one shoe and I stick the beat stick in the other shoe. Like, they are both right there.
Yep.
Never have I needed them. And I don't want anybody to be scared, like, thinking, like, oh, it's, like, scary out in the woods. But, I mean, you know, society is scary sometimes. So so I make sure that those are right there. That is just something that I do. I'm not saying you need to do that. I'm not saying that that necessarily ties in with how to set up your campsite. But before I tuck in, that's one of the tips. That's one of the things that I do, is make sure that that is right there, readily accessible. So...
Yeah, well, I mean, that comes down to the whole point of, like, any kind of weapon of choice that you choose to carry with you or take with you on a regular basis, or even if you sleep with a baseball bat next to your bed, you hope you never have to use it. It's just there in case.
Well, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And then, again, I don't want to get too deep into fire, but, like, please, everybody, make sure your fire is actually out before you go to bed. If you are having a fire somewhere, please make sure it is all the way out. We all know about all the wildfires that are happening all across this country and other countries lately. Where Mike and I are at right now, as we record this, we are in a fairly severe drought. Feel like if we were to go out hiking this weekend, I'm not sure we would even have a fire. 'Cause, like, everything is so dry, it is going to go up lickety split. So,
The lawn hasn't needed to be mowed in a long time.
It is very dry here where we are recording. So just please, you know, be mindful of that. One of the other things that I had put in my notes just as a thing to bring up is, you know, if you are setting up lights or lanterns or anything like that, be mindful and respectful of those. Make sure those get turned off at night. You know, try not to have light pollution, especially if you have neighbors. You know, people are out there to be secluded. Like, don't be spreading your light everywhere, I guess. I don't know how to say that, but, like, you know, just be mindful of your surroundings. We're all out there to have a good time, and I don't want to make anybody, like, feel like I'm telling you not to have fun, but
be respectful. Pretty sure my therapist once told me to spread my light everywhere, but...
I don't know if it was your therapist. It might have been church.
That could have been my pastor. Yeah.
Okay. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
that rings a bell.
Yeah. But, you know, like, so those are the really the big things. Like, it's, you know, set up your zones, try not to intermingle your zones, pick up after yourself, have it set up in a way that makes sense in case you need to navigate at night. Don't screw up nature while you're out there.
I could not have said it better myself. I mean, it all comes down to the know the area you're going to and preparation. We had a whole episode on preparing, and I brought it up before, like with our water, like you kind of can have an idea of where your water source is going to be. You can kind of have an idea of where certain things go. It's always a surprise when you actually get to your site of this elevation of, you know, where I can put my tent and all that kind of stuff. But do as much of your prep as you can at home before you go. And that allows you to know what gear you're actually going to have to take. So,
yeah, for sure. And then like my last piece of advice, not directly related, but fairly related. The next day or the next 2 days, whenever you're packing back up, do another once over after everything's packed up.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, make sure you got everything. Did you leave trash accidentally? Like, I get it. We all make mistakes. We all forget something once in a while. Like, you're going to leave a piece of gear behind eventually. You'll probably feel bad about it.
Don't leave tuna in the bear locker.
Don't leave stuff behind for somebody else to take out for you.
Yep.
Don't leave tuna in the bear locker. Exactly. I mean, that's. Yep. I should freaking have a shirt that says "Don't leave tuna in the bear locker." But like, you know, don't leave other stuff for somebody else to take out for you. You took it in, take it out with you.
Yep.
Do a once over. Like Mike and I both do independent once overs. Like he will go through the site once, and I will go through it once, and we have found things that we have like accidentally left. We haven't left them behind because we did the once over and found them before we left them behind. But like we have both found things that we forgot to pack up. I almost forgot to pack up the stupid water filtration thing one time. Cause like, you know, you set it off to the side. It's over here a little bit out of the way. That would have been a disaster. So Mike, luckily during his once over, he's like, "Oh, we forgot this." Like, okay, perfect.
Yep.
So
I almost left my jacket the one time.
Yeah.
Like, I was letting it hang up to dry because it got drenched, and we're leaving. And I'm like, "Oh, yep, got to pack that away."
Yeah.
Like, so, do your due diligence and just make sure that you're not leaving it for the next person. So
yeah. I mean, as always, if anybody's got any questions, comments, or concerns about anything that we have said during the course of this episode, you have things that you agree with, you have different tips or tricks. We have totally missed something, let us know. You can reach us on our email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. You can reach us on all of the major social media platforms at seanmikehike or on our website at seanmikehike.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And until next time,
go take a hike.
Yeah, go take a hike. Eh? We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Yep. See you guys. Thank you.